God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from our gospel reading as we celebrate a new season, the season of Epiphany. And Epiphany is being marked by God showing himself to the world. Now, we might think this being a little strange. Why does God need to reveal himself to the world? And part of that is because he looks like an ordinary human being. You know, when the shepherds came on the birth of Jesus, no one had any doubt that a baby was born. The big question, is this baby the Son of God? Now, as Jesus is about 30 years old, because that is when he begins his public teaching, because you really couldn't do any teaching or preaching, so to speak, before age 30, now there has to be certain signs. Here's one of the signs, the baptism of our Lord. But before we go too far into this baptism, we need to pick up one more theme of Epiphany. Besides making God known to the world, and the answer is really to the world, we have to realize that God is also reaching all nations. It's just not his people, the people of Israel, but for all people. We may remember the event of the wise men coming, and this would be typically symbolized by the quote-unquote three kings bringing three gifts. Keep in mind that these three kings were not people of Israel, but were outsiders. So now we have Christ reaching out to all the nations. Getting into our text, we have one of those real big words. You see, Jesus comes to be baptized. And in doing so, there's some questions to be raised. Because John the Baptist, who has a successful ministry going on, so to speak, questions Jesus and basically says, I should be baptized by you. And Jesus says, no, we're going to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So the word righteousness, what is it? What does it mean? Basically, it means that you have been declared right or perfect before God. Maybe another way of describing it is you're good to go. And where would that going be? That going is to be with Christ for all eternity. Jesus tells John, permit it now, thus fulfilling and to fulfill all righteousness. And righteousness is basically what declares us right is our sins being removed from us. Christ taking upon those sins. That's why he came, to suffer and die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Plain, simple, to the point. Righteousness is Jesus suffering and his death for you on the cross. But some of you might be sitting there thinking, okay, Pastor, wait a minute. We got 3 whole years before the baptism and the cross. Isn't the baptism the beginning part of Jesus' ministry? And isn't the cross near the ending part of Jesus' ministry? What are you going to do with those 3 years in between? Notice what our text says. This is to fulfill all righteousness. It was completed upon the cross. But Jesus, in coming to John the Baptist to be baptized, is part of his active obedience to the Father. This is why the Father says, this is my beloved Son, listen to him, he is well pleased. Because Jesus is now taking on the sin of the whole world through those baptismal waters. So there's a great exchange going on here. And the exchange looks like this. Jesus goes into the water, is baptized, and typically we think that when you're baptized, you're made clean. Well, yes, except for during this great exchange, the exact opposite happens. And here's the opposite. Jesus sort of comes up out of the water, and instead of being clean, he's now all dirty. Why is he dirty? Because the water so to speak, using an analogy here, of baptism, is connected to us. When we are baptized, we are clean and all our sins are washed away. Where do they go? They go to Jesus. So maybe a better way of describing this baptism of our Lord is, if we remember the oil well spill in the Gulf and how there is oil and muck all around. And of course, there was a reporter who decided he wanted to go in and see how deep this oil was and what it looked like underneath. And then when he came back up, he was all full of that muck, that oil, those toxics type things. Well, in one essence, that's exactly what happens to Jesus. He comes up out of his baptism, now bearing the sin of the whole world. And we can truly and honestly say at this point, Jesus is actually worse of a sinner than you. How can I say that? Because you only have to deal with your sin. And through Christ, it is forgiven and taken away. Christ not only deals with your sin, but your neighbor's sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. So the weight of his sin is much worse. There's another little nuance here. And for a moment, I'm just going to pick on the cover of our bulletin here, just for the fun of it. On our bulletin cover, we have a beautiful picture of a dove. Notice the white dove. And I have my spirit upon him, you know, very appropriate. Except for I want to challenge you, at least in picking up the whole concept of the baptism of our Lord, is I want to use a line from, you know, one of my favorite movies and books, Harry Potter. Uncle Vernon says to Harry as a young boy, he says, "Oh no, you don't, boy. You and that bloody pigeon aren't going anywhere." Well, if I could change the cover for today's text, I'd probably make this a bloody pigeon. Now, that might be offensive to some on a couple accounts, so let's explain it. First of all, what's the difference between a pigeon and a dove? In the Greek, there is no difference. It's the same word. Well, very often we start thinking of doves as white, as pure, as perfect, as innocent, and pigeons as dirty, disgusting, you know, those city-type birds. Having grown up in the city of Chicago, I've actually kind of liked those pigeons, but that's a different story. And then what happens here? The great exchange. God now takes upon our sin. So what do we do with this pure, perfect white dove? It now gets all dirty. It all gets all messy. It no longer looks good. So maybe a big, fat, lazy pigeon would be appropriate. And then why pick up the bloody pigeon? Because where does that pigeon need to go with all our sins? It needs to become bloodied upon the cross. Where my analogy does fall apart, and I will admit, is that typically the dove is associated with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does not die on the cross. So my apologies for that analogy. No analogy is perfect. It's Jesus who dies on the cross. But I want you to understand the great exchange. So does St. Paul. As St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." Yes, Jesus picks up this curse. And as he begins his public ministry, he's now being actively obedient to the Father. He knows where he's going to be winding up, and he begins this active obedience with his baptism. The hymn we just got through singing, we sang stanzas 4 through 7. There is some very interesting good theology here. Verse 4, "There stood the Son of God in love, his grace to us extending, the Holy Spirit like a dove upon the scene descending, the triune God assuring us with promises compelling that in our baptism he will thus find us a dwelling to comfort and sustain us." in that passage, you have that great exchange. Christ now dwelling within us as we are dwelling within him. And now for the purpose of this great exchange, it's not just to take away our sins. There's more, even more. Notice the last line of stanza 4, to comfort and to sustain us. You see, too often we miss out on the real beauty of baptism. We think of it as a one-time event that occurred when we were an infant. And yes, it does occur then, and it still keeps on occurring because of that Christ dwelling within us. The baptism of our Lord shows us this beautiful connection now between us and God. And in the midst of our dark moments, in the midst of our own sadness, in the midst of our own pain and misery, we, like Martin Luther, who was noted to say, "I am baptized." Because that's where we get our comfort and strength from. Remembering, recalling this great exchange. Now, Luther used the present active tense of this phrase, "I am baptized." He didn't necessarily say, "I was baptized." He said, "I am baptized," noting the continual action of what it means to be connected to Christ and having Christ connected to us. This indeed is a very beautiful moment for us. And it's in those moments where it seems like the world around us is giving us pain and displeasure, we can remember what Christ has done for us, what Christ is still doing for us, and what Christ will continue to do for us, is that is to keep us in that special relationship with him. So this day we do indeed remember the baptism of our Lord. It's just not a one-time event for Jesus, nor is it a one-time for us event for us. This is the life we live. We are connected to Jesus, connected to him with that word of God, with holy water and that word, to make that connection for the forgiveness of our sins, the great exchange, and so that we could be with him in heaven above. Yes, Jesus begins his public ministry this way. To fulfill all righteousness, he has come to take away our sin, away from us, so that we could be with him for all eternity. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.